Our desire is not to hear from man, but to hear from God. I thank the Lord for getting to be here. I thank the Lord for His Word. I thank the Lord for the saints of God. It has been a real blessing to me to get to see all of the saints, especially the young families and all the loads of young people. This has just been wonderful. And I look at them and I think, oh, wow, if this could continue on, don't give up. We'll have to increase the tabernacle. That won't be a problem. We'll do that. I just appreciate all that He is to me. I'd like for us to sing one verse of 278 before we get started in what the Lord has for us tonight. Just one verse. The first verse will be sufficient. I've drawn a crude illustration up here of a barbed wire fence with dirt, not a pasture, a dirt. I recently was working in my yard, and we had been hearing the cries of our neighbors' cows. Sometimes it'd be in the middle of the night, sometimes in the morning especially. And we had noticed that the neighbors had them fenced in a pretty good number of cows in a very small pen. And what happened was that pen became grassless. There's no grass there. There's no hay there. There's no feed for the cows there. So we knew the crying of the animals was because they were hungry. They were hungry. So the other day I was working in my yard, and I looked up in the pasture that is directly in front of our house was two cows fleeing the scene. And I thought, yes, they're trying to find pasture. They're hungry. And it got me to thinking about our homes. Our desire is that our children would love this truth just like we do. But sometimes all we give them is barbed wire and dirt. And by the time they turn a certain age, they're ready to flee, just like those two cows did across the pasture. We sometimes hear their cry, but all we're feeding them is dirt. All we're giving them is a barbed wire pen to live in. But that's not the way the Lord intended for that to be. He had a desire that our homes would be a safe haven so that we could nourish our children into the laws of His Word and that they are not grievous. Amen. And they're beautiful. But sometimes all they can see is the barbed wire and the dirt. So I'd like to deal with that a little bit tonight. I've heard that rules without relationship breeds rebellion. And I've seen that happen a lot. A child, you cannot reason with a 3-year-old, so that's not the age I'm talking about. Whenever they go out to do something, you tell them, do not go beyond this point. Because there's danger there. But you don't tell them the danger there. They don't understand the danger there. They have to hear the word of your command and obey. Just simply because you're the mama bear or you're the papa bear, so to speak. That is how you train up your children. But little 3-year-olds, little toddlers grow up into adults. And sometimes as they go into adulthood, you're still using the same because I said so tone of voice. When really they're wanting to know a reason why we do what we do. Why we go where we go. Why we don't go some places. And do you know, the saints, it's more than what, it's the Word of God. I'll just say that. The Word of God is beautiful. The boundaries are wonderful. They are there for our protection. I've thought of that verse in Revelation that says, without are dogs and sorcerers. And I've thought of that, and murderers. We have a protection within our home so that our children do not have to experience the world out there that is vicious and violent and deadly. I know as a young girl, this would be the toddler age. I would have been about 3 years old. I remember the reprimand that I was not to go to the end of the driveway. I was to stop at the end of the driveway. And I remember that clearly because our driveway was in a subdivision and it sloped. So when you lift your little feet on a tricycle, it goes pretty fast. But I learned how to stop at the end because I'd gotten some correction if I didn't. My 3-year-old mind didn't know that it was a busy street. I don't remember that part. I do remember a lot of skinned up ankles because I stopped the tricycle with my feet and skinned up tennis shoes. I do remember that clearly. But I also remember I knew I was to turn around and go back up the hill to go back down. I had to stop. My mom and dad did not reason with me and say, honey, we understand that you want to ride your tricycle, but you've got to understand it's a busy street. And I know you want to do what you want to do, but you've got to understand it's a busy street. Now, honey, don't go out there. I would not have understood that. But I did understand the correction. I understood that well. But do you know, it didn't cause me to be angry with my mom and dad. It caused me to love their carefulness about my life. And that's the way it is to be spiritually. Do you know there are laws and statutes and commands? And sometimes all we want to do is just lay it down as barbed wire. Here it is. This is what the saints teach. This is what the Church of God teaches. But it's got to be more than that. But first, you're going to have to love it. You're going to have to love it yourself. If not, it's going to be just barbed wire and dirt. So I'd like to start out with Proverbs, the 29th chapter. Proverbs 29 and 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. When you truly correct a child, you're sparing them from themselves, really. That's what you're doing. A child that is left to his own, it said, will bring his mother to shame. And we see a lot of that in our society today. Don't correct them. Let them have their own personalities. But I have also found miserable parents out there. They can't wait for someone to take care of them. They can't wait to have a break from them. The children give them no joy because they're miserable. The children are miserable. The parents are miserable. But do you know, there are reasons why we have these boundaries. And a child that has had boundaries that are godly given is a happy child. It's usually a happy child. It's a loved child. It's understood that you are protecting me. And the laws and the statutes and the commands of the Lord are not grievous. They're beautiful. So if you would go with me to Proverbs, the 1st chapter and the 7th verse. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." My son, I don't want to just do that for myself. I want you to love it too. I want you to desire it too. I want you to understand what it is. I want to build it as beautiful as it really is. I want you to understand that. I want you to desire that. So it becomes very personable when it's a child learning from a parent. But I'm here to tell you, if a parent doesn't enjoy it, your child is not going to either. If you don't have a vision for it, your children likely will not either. If it's all just rules and regulations, they're going to find a break in that fence and run in the pasture. Because they're trying to find something to quell the hunger in their soul. We have been given a charge as parents to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And nurturing means building the soil, fertilizing the soil, digging the soil, making it inhabitable for a seed to grow. Make it inhabitable. Don't just give them red dirt, hard clay. Don't give them something that they can't grow in. Give them something that is loamy and warm, that they want watered, that they want this too. 1 John 5 and 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Commandments. The world doesn't like to hear about commandments, do they? And sometimes we don't like to hear commandments. But there are reasons why we do everything we do. And it's backed up by the Word of God. I remember being in school and children asking me, "Why do you do this?" And I would come home and I would say, "Mama, why do we do this?" And she said, "Well, you just tell them that your parents make you do it." So that's what I would go to school and say. But you know, eventually that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for me either. But I found that there were reasons why we did everything we did. Biblical reasons. I know why I dressed the way I did. I know why I looked different than the world. And I understood that. And I loved it. I appreciated that. And the older I get, the more I understand it better. There's a protection in His commandments and His laws and His statutes. And I thank the Lord for that. Yeah. I would like to talk about those laws. Psalm 119. David is a perfect example of a man who loved the laws of the Lord. I would like to know how many times that's mentioned in Psalm. It's especially mentioned in 119. But I'd like to particularly start with verse 129. And it says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." They're not barbed wire and dirt. It's not just a boundary. It's not just a noose around the neck. It's something beautiful. It's something productive. It's something we can be passionate about. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts." See how many times that's mentioned? Precepts, testimony, statutes, commandments. And David didn't say that in harsh tones. He said that in loving tones. And we need to have that in our lives too. "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes." I want to know more of your word of God. I don't want it to be just because mama said so. I don't want it to be just because daddy said so. I want to know why we do this. Why? "Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." It is a grief when we see our children decide that it's not important. Our greatest, if we are parents, our greatest call, besides our own souls and our companions, is our children. We have a charge. We are given a charge for them. And sometimes I can't help but wonder how responsible we're going to be if all we gave them was barbed wire and dirt. There's a responsibility there. Proverbs, the 16th chapter. when it's passed down in the correct manner, I do believe a child has that choice. They can go from it. But let it be that they tear themselves away because you have such ties that bind that they have to force themselves out. And let it be that if they decide to return, all those tendrils are there to welcome them back. Because that's necessary. We don't want to lose anyone, especially our children. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter and the 31st verse, it says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." White hair. It means someone has grown older. Someone is experienced. Someone has been down the path. And when it's found in righteousness, I believe that is one of the greatest treasures a congregation can have. If you have a man or a spiritual man, a spiritual woman in your congregation that has been there and done that and found the grace, you have something wonderful in your congregation. It provides such a stability to a congregation. It provides a stability for others to look upon and say, "Oh, that was found in righteousness." It said if it's not found in righteousness, you're nothing more than a dirty old man or dirty old woman. And there is no need for those. But the Lord designed that there would be generation ahead as well as a generation behind. And I thank the Lord for that. If you'll go on to the 17th chapter in the 6th verse, it says, "Children's children are the crown of old men." I see a lot of crowns here. And I see some pretty happy pawpaws and pretty happy mamas. Because it's a fruition of what your children love. They love their companion. They love their children. And there isn't anything greater, any greater joy than that. I thank the Lord for it. But it says also, "And the glory of children are their fathers." That's beautiful to me. That's a crown to a child if they have a godly parent. I thank the Lord for that. I want to go to Luke, the 15th chapter, and the 11th verse. We're not going to read the whole story. We're all familiar with it, but I do want to stop at one point. Luke, the 15th chapter, and the 11th verse. "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" Stop right there. Father's servants have bread enough to spare? That's just the servants. What if the father only had husk? What if he'd only had what was to fill the belly of the swine? Do you know we can do that? If we've surrounded our home with barbed wire and dirt, what do they want to come home to? There's nothing there. The riches of the world will glitter to them because there's more to offer than what you have at home. But the Father had more than the husk. By the grace of God, you have more than the world every time. Make that environment so that they have to tear themselves away, but make it inviting so they want to come back. This young man figured out he had messed up. Because what he had left behind was worth more than what he had found. May that be in our homes, that what they leave behind is worth more than what they find in the world. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 4th verse, it gives us this admonition here, this challenge. Ephesians 6 and 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And I'm not here to advocate you shouldn't have boundaries. Barbed wire fences are good to have. It keeps things out and it keeps things in. I'm glad for barbed wire fences. I'm telling you, when I come to West Virginia and I see those long bridges, I'm very glad there's a concrete barrier and a steel barricade between me and what's below. If it was just a little ribbon of highway that was stretched from end to end, which really that's what it is, I probably wouldn't go across because I'm afraid I would slip and fall. And it's a treacherous fall. Do you know boundaries are good things? They're wonderful things. I love thy precepts, Lord. I love thy statutes. It protects me from the fall. It protects me from the danger of animals. It protects me. It keeps things out and it keeps things in. I appreciate that. I'm not here to advocate there are no boundaries. But the Lord has loving boundaries. I love thy kingdom, Lord. 1 Peter 3 and 15. First Peter 3 and 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asking you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And sometimes we always think about that as being outside, that somebody at work, somebody at school, somebody on the streets is going to ask you the reason of your hope, but your children are going to ask too. What is the reason of your hope? Do you have a hope? Do you have a vision? If you don't, they won't either. And they're not going to be attracted to it. Do you have a reason of hope to give them and say, "I know what it's done for me, and it's a good life, and I want you to have it too. I want you to have it too." Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and the 16th verse. Jeremiah 6 and 16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." The old paths are not good because they're old. Sometimes we think that. Well, mama did it, daddy did it, grandma and grandpa did it this way. Then it's going to work for me. No. The old paths are good because they've been tried and proven. Yes. Seek for those places. Why do we do what we do? Have an answer. Third John, third book of John, fourth verse. Let this be your motto. It says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Yeah. Except for your own salvation, I believe there is no greater joy. I really believe that. When I see my children love this way, I can't express how I feel. It's too big. When I see my children make decisions to choose this way with their family and their homes, I'm telling you, there's just nothing that can touch it. Let that be your motto. I have a vision for our family. I have a vision for the end of our family. And I want it to be that we all go to heaven together. I desire you pray for me.